Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 201. Thanks so much for listening each week. I really appreciate those of you that help share the podcast on social media and by leaving a rating and review on iTunes. You know, doing that helps me help as many coaches as I possibly can. Want to also thank our sponsors, and specifically Sorenex, for bringing these episodes to you for free each week. Sorenex, we're both friends of Sorenex, Micah, and just guys that we both appreciate, the company, the culture, that everything that goes into it, the innovation. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, and I think you would attest as well that, you know, Summer Strong is a must attend event as well. I know that's coming up, and you just had me down to speak at your clinic at their headquarters, their world headquarters, which is phenomenal, and you know, I think they just do a great job. So if you're in the market for equipment, reach out to Sorenex. At the very least, let them know how much you appreciate them on social media or at the next conference that you go to. But as I mentioned, Micah Kurtz is on the show today. I've known Micah for quite some time, been real impressed by him through the years and just how his career has developed and the content that he puts out and the way that he goes about his business. And so, Mike, I appreciate you being on the show, man.
Oh, it's an honor to be on here. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of yours. I've been following you for a long time. And like I told you before we got on the show, you and Mike Robertson's podcast are my go-to podcast. So to be on yours is an extreme honor.
I appreciate that, man. Mike is the director of strength and conditioning at AC Flora High School down in Columbia, South Carolina. He's 2016 NSCA Strength Coach of the Year. I think they've had, 12 state championships or more down there. And yeah. You know, just a ton of success at an early, young age, and just, you know, the sky's the limit for this guy. But, Micah, you know, we all have that kind of origin story, the reason why we became a strength coach. What was that story for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of coaches, a lot of strength coaches. I mean, obviously, I fell in love with athletics at a very young age. And some of my biggest mentors were my PE teachers and my sport coaches. And I didn't really know much about being a strength coach and knew that profession growing up in upstate New York. And so my biggest role models were my PE teachers and my coaches. And so I went to a small undergrad school in outside of Syracuse, New York. For my major was physical education, and thought I wanted to be a PE teacher and coach. Got out, played football at that school as well. Fell in love with strength and conditioning. Got out and was the school's de facto strength coach while also being an assistant football, basketball, and baseball coach teaching PE. And that's when I really, really, really fell in love with the strength and conditioning and knew that's something that I wanted to really get into. So I sat down and studied for my CSCS, applied for, knew I had to start out as a GA, applied for GA positions all over the country, ended up getting the one at the University of South Carolina, and thought I wanted to be a collegiate strength coach and loved my experience there. But as I was finishing up, I got offered this position at AC Flora to basically create the school's first ever strength program, and thought I'd take this position and do it for a year or two. Now I'm in year 8, and I've just fallen in love with the process of really being able to mold these athletes from a very young age, not just as athletes and maximizing their potential in the weight room and in speed and agility, but just being able to be a positive role model. And I think that's what me and obviously you talk about that a lot, is that impact that you can make on kids' life and that impact that you can make, especially on young kids, like at the high school level, is tremendous. And it's just something that we as strength coaches know there's really no better job in the world than being a strength coach. And it's really not because we get to be in the weight room and work out and push kids to work out, but it's that impact that we can make on on these athletes by being around them all year.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's exactly why you've had the success that you've had, is because you've placed the athletes first and you continue to do so. And you know, you mentioned you were at Patterson High School there in outside of Baltimore. You know, you've been at University of South Carolina as a GA. You've been at AC Flora. You've done some work with Oak Hill. Out of all those experiences, what experience, you know, had the biggest impact on your career, and maybe what, you know, has helped you have the success that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I haven't been at that many places, and I still like to think I'm young in my career. And so just this whole process at AC Flora, coming from a GA at University of South Carolina, worked under some unbelievable strength coaches. Billy Anderson was my direct boss, who's the director of Olympic Sports in South Carolina. Unbelievable guy. Pat Moore was there, who's now gone on to, I guess now he's at South Florida yeah, with Charlie Strong. Unbelievable guy. Dan Austin. So being able to learn from them, I mean, it was a tremendous opportunity. But still, and you know, when you took over your own program at a very young age, I mean, you can have all the mentors and learn all that you want underneath them. When you start your own program, it's a whole nother can of worms. And so just taking this program that had never had a strength and conditioning program and being able to build it from scratch and make tons of mistakes along the way, but getting the kids to buy in to what I'm trying to do, getting the parents and the administration to buy in, being able to see it grow from year one to where it is now is just obviously has been a huge impact on my career. And I've been looking back at my programs that I did when I first came into this school. I mean, I would never do them again. And I'm like, I'm lucky that I didn't injure people, or I'm lucky that somebody that really knew what they were doing didn't come in and say, "What in the world are you doing with this program?" But it worked in the beginning. And the main reason it worked is because, I mean, we place our athletes above everything else and really get them to buy into what we're trying to do. But just being, as I've gone through the years here, just getting the administration to buy into what we're doing, obviously the athletes to buy in, and now we brought in some of the community and parents are participating in our workouts as well. And so this school and this athletic program has been awesome, where it's really a huge community atmosphere that's all focused on fitness and strength and conditioning. And we've included the faculty, the administration, the parents, the athletes, obviously, the younger brothers and sisters of the athletes. And it's become a real culture of strength and conditioning and fitness, which has been awesome to see here.
That's great. And that's exactly, I mean, I agree with you 100% that you don't really fully ever understand what it means to be a strength coach until you are the head strength coach, when you're designing the programs and you're having all the accountability goes, to, you know, the buck stops with you, and the vision casting and all that. And that's ultimately what, you know, it ramps up your learning process in a big, big way.
100%.
You mentioned some of the mistakes you made. What's been maybe the biggest mistake you made and kind of how you learned from it?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest mistake was when I started out. I mean, I wanted that program to be my own, and kind of felt like, hey, I don't want to go ask these guys that I don't really know, these other strength coaches, about how they do this or how they do this, and just not going out and asking and collaborating. You there? My yep. fault. Not going out and collaborating and seeking wisdom from other strength coaches, just saying, hey, I'm gonna stay in my own little box and stay in my own little shell and do it and figure it out on my own. And I mean, since I have started networking and reaching out to people, I mean, I've realized how much I don't know, but also become such a better coach. And just this profession, like we talk about with at conferences, it's an unbelievable profession where people are so so ready to help out and share their knowledge. And so I had a credit. Josh Ortega, and he was a strength coach at Athletes Arena. You know Josh.
Yeah.
And he was before myself, he was the NSCA state director. He was an awesome guy. I never really collaborated with him, but when he was putting on one of his conferences, he was like, hey, I know you're doing a good job where you're at. I'd love to have you speak. And I didn't really want to speak. I was like, who knows if these guys are going to look at me and say, what is he doing? I like Josh Bonnetal talks about, says he's a extroverted introvert. And I mean, I'm probably the same way. I'm loud around my kids and talk loud around my athletes. But, when I'm by myself, I mean, I'm quiet. I like to observe more than be the center of attention. So I wasn't really that comfortable in presenting, but I did go and present. And Gary Schofield and Jeremy Boone were both presenting at that as well. And I remember when I presented afterwards, Gary came up and he's like, hey, and I had already known Gary, just known about him. And Gary came up, he didn't know me. And he was like, that's an unbelievable presentation. He's like, love what you're doing. And ever since then, me and him, he's mentored me, and I've become a much, much better coach from that. And then getting more involved in the NSCA and now in the National High School Strength and Conditioning Strength Coaches Association, just continuing collaborating and learning from those guys. And then another quick story is 3 years ago now, my brother lives in South Florida. I emailed Bill Ferran of the Miami Heat.
Yep.
Had never spoke to him in my life. And I was like, hey, I'm a high school strength coach. I'm down here visiting my brother. I'd love to come by and talk to you. He emailed me back. It was like in April when they were in the middle of the playoff run and LeBron back then. And he was like, yeah, come on by. I pull in. So he's like, park in the players' lot. Come through. So I park in the players' lot. I'm parking my beat up Chevy Impala next to these $300,000 cars. Tell the security guard, hey, I'm here. See Coach Ferran. He's like, yeah, go right on in. The weight room's two doors down on the right or whatever. Walk in, and LeBron's standing 5 feet away from me working out. And Coach Ferran takes me in his office and sat down and talked for like 2 hours about everything he's done with for the past 25 years with the Miami Heat. And now he's been a resource of mine the past 3 years. So
that's great.
I mean, this has just been like the past 4 years that I really started reaching out and networking. And obviously the connections that I've made has made up me a 100% better coach. And I just wish when I first started out, I didn't go to conferences. I remember when I went to one of your conferences at University of Tennessee, and I just sat in the back. I just sat in the back and didn't say a word to nobody. And
right.
Now I wish looking back, I had gone and really seek that knowledge from all those people that have much more knowledge than me.
No, I've done the same thing. I remember the first NSCA conference I went to, I didn't say a word to anybody either, you know. And
yeah,
when you can learn from other people's mistakes and you can learn from their wisdom, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls that they've made, you know, by sidestepping them in your own career. And I think that's so important. You're at a place now, you know, high school, it's not the easiest place to be a strength coach because you got athletes that play multiple sports. You have, you know, coaches that maybe don't understand exactly what a strength coach does. You got parents that are maybe chirping in your ear about unrealistic expectations. You know, what's the biggest challenge that you face at the high school level?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of challenges, for sure. And I mean, I like to think, I mean, knowing some of these strength coaches around the country, like Gary Schofield and Fred Eves and John Garish and Tobias, Jacoby, I mean, it's one of the most challenging jobs, and some of those guys, I think, I'll put their knowledge and what they're doing against any strength coach in the country, because we got so many people from administration, from head coaches, from parents, and from outside coaches pulling the kids in all different directions. So I think just being able to communicate with what our goal and our core values and our mission of our strength program is, and being able to be open and being able to explain that and getting all those different components, not just, we don't have to just worry about getting our athletes to buy into what we're doing. We need to worry about getting the sport coaches to buy in, get the administration to buy in, get the parents to buy in, work with. I mean, I have some of my kids that go work with private coaches as well. And just being, and I encourage that as long as our programs match up. And right. So just being able to be open and communicative and get everybody to understand what the end goal is and get everybody to buy into what we're trying to get accomplished in our strength program. I think that's the most difficult thing with just because these kids are getting pulled in a million different directions, and just being able to get everybody to line up and see the same end goal. It's definitely a challenge. And then definitely with at the high school level. We have sport coaches, some that are in the school and some that are outside the school and some that have a lot of turnover every year. And so always having to be able to get that buy-in from your new coaches as well is always a challenge as well.
Sure. Well, with each of those athletes playing multiple different sports and multiple different positions and things along those lines, I mean, how are you able, you know, how do you structure your program so that you can meet the needs of each individual sport, each individual athlete, you know, and do it in a way that logistically makes sense?
So our administration has done a pretty good job of trying to match up the blocks, the training. We have four blocks each day, four 90-minute blocks, and trying to get – sorry, there's a
– Oh, you're fine.
Going on in the back. Trying to get those the same athletes, the same sport athletes in the same class, but obviously it's a work in progress and it's not always perfect. But I like to think our program, we're training all of our athletes, no matter what sport they are, to be athletes. And so we have a unified program where we're really working on general movement skills. And we have the same core values as Gary Schofield. Well, number one, we want to protect the athlete. We don't want everything we do in the weight room. We want to make sure that we're protecting them from getting hurt on the field of play and not getting them hurt in the weight room. Number two, we want them to move well. So we're always going to work on mobility and stability and having proper movement patterns. And then number three, which I think is the most important after they move well in the high school level, is we want to get them stronger. For any sport they play, if they get strong, they're going to get faster. They're going to get more explosive. They're going to become better athletes in whatever sport they play. Then number four, we want them to move fast. So we're going to always incorporate some linear and reactive agility stuff in our program. And then number five, and I stole this right from most of these are stolen from Coach Schofield, but number five, we want them to thrive. Everything that we do, everything they want, they do, whether that's in their sport, whether that's in the weight room, whether that's in the classroom, whether that's being a brother, sister, son, daughter, we want them to maximize their potential in life. And we're going to teach those values in our program. But throughout our actual setup in our weight room, we're on a modified tier system. But their workout will be there. They can have progressions or regressions according to what training age they are. And we're blocks in the high school level. We're at blocks 1 through 4. So they're in block one. They may all be doing some type of squat movement, but it could be a goblet squat, it could be a front squat, it could be a back squat. If they're a higher level kid in our block four, they move on to some type of velocity-based stuff, so they might be doing some type of velocity-based squats. They have some type of injury, they might be doing some type of single leg squat. Our workout groups are set up in groups of three, so a lot of our auxiliary movements are set up according to offset the demands of what sport they're playing if they're in season. So if it's a baseball guy in season, they may be, and we're on a modified tier system, like I said, but say it's a upper body focus, lower body focus lift, and that's a squat day. One guy will be squatting, one guy will be spotting. The third guy, according to what sport he plays, may be doing something to offset the demands of his sport if he's in season. So if it's a baseball guy, he may be doing some type of rear delt work. If it's a basketball guy, he's in season, he may be doing some type of posterior chain work just to offset all of the demands that they have on their quick start and stop and quick jumps. So a lot of our, I guess, sports specific stuff is tied into our auxiliary lifts, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. No, it's great. What, I usually ask most of these questions, but I'm going to let you choose, since we're going to try to stay on our 20-minute time limit here. But
yeah.
What do you think either makes you unique or makes your program unique from anybody else out there?
Yeah. I don't know if it makes me unique, but I mean, I think something that we've done and that we've been able to expand in the time that I've been here is, we've really expanded, and I've really, in these past couple of years, really focused on expanding it from not just the high school level. And then year 3 and 4, we started bringing in 7th and 8th graders after school to try and just introduce them to the weight room. But now in the past few years, we've really expanded it to incorporate my training principles in the middle school in their PE classes. And then now we do something called Fast Camps, Future Athlete Speed and Strength Training, all throughout the year with fourth through seventh graders. And so I've been starting to get my hands and working on these kids, teaching them my athletic performance concepts, my dynamic movement prep, my basic squat and lunge and push-up and pull patterns. Been able to teach these kids that from fourth grade all the way now. A lot of these kids are now coming up through the high school now. And hopefully, I like to think that that they're a lot further along in their strength and conditioning development and their proper movement skills because they've started with me at such a young age. And I like to think of it like, so I mean, football's king in South Carolina. And some of the best football programs, they do their football, they teach their same program for their football, their offensive and defensive terminology, their X's and O's, all the way through from their little league programs all run the same thing, up through their middle school programs run the same thing, all the way through their high school. So those kids have the same terminology, running the same offensive and defensive schemes all the way through. So by the time they're in high school, it's like that, and they know what they're doing, and they can play faster. And so I like to think that what we're doing, I would like to think that by me getting my hands on these kids at such a young age, by the time they're they get to me in high school, they're at a much, much better training age and much higher competency in movement skills, and hopefully their strength and their speed is better as well by the time they get to me. So just trying to expand our strength and conditioning program past the high school level, from the high school level all the way down through the feeder systems.
That's great. That's awesome information. Well, Mike, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Oh, man. I wrote this one down. It's really a life advice because my brother was talking to me about it about a couple months ago when we were just talking about he had a few job opportunities. I had a few different job opportunities. And, my brother, he makes a ton more money than me. He's an attorney, but he would be an unbelievable strength coach as well. But he talked about never be satisfied, but appreciate what you have. Live in the moment, but chase your dreams and do all these things at the same time. So, I'm extremely, extremely, extremely happy where I am right now. I love my job, but I'm being a competitor. You always want to seek new challenges, but you don't want to be so caught up in seeking new challenges that you don't appreciate what you have. And so I think if you can do all that stuff, if you can live in the moment and chase your dreams all at the same time, things will all work out.
That's awesome. Awesome advice. What about a book, app, website recommendation?
Yeah, definitely can't talk about a book without talking about Brett Bartholomew's new book. I just ordered it, have not started reading it, but anybody who's on social media and follow a lot of strength coaches, you'll see that's a very hot book right now. Your book obviously has been awesome for me, CEO Strength Coach.
Appreciate that.
I follow a lot of your, like I said, you're one of my my go-to podcasts, and obviously I've read your book and where you talk about. Yeah, you forced me to read, and a lot of strength coaches forced me to read because they're so big on reading. And you talk about reading one book to make yourself a better strength coach, one leadership book, and then one book for you. A great strength coach book on programming is Power Positions by Andrea Hoodie.
Yeah,
I loved her book and how she broke down her athletes into three different categories. A leadership book, Lead for God's Sake, awesome book, just about why we're in this profession. And then a book that I just started reading for me is When We Were Young, and it's about two guys. It's like a 60-year-old guy and a 20-year-old guy who go out on a 7-month travel around the world. They travel around a lot of like Southeast Asia and Australia, and just tales from their road, their time on the road. And one of my passions besides strength and conditioning is travel. And I think so. I'm jealous of all your traveling, and love to get anytime I can. I want to go see new cultures and see new countries. And this book has just been a cool book to to see their journey through Australia. And I just got it as an easy read, and it's a very enjoyable read.
Oh, that's great. Quick app and website?
Yeah, website, Mike Robertson's website. I'm always checking his out. He always puts out great stuff and great blogs. I think, I don't know, what is it, robertsontrainingsystems.com or something like that, but Mike Robertson. App, we are trying to get more and more into velocity-based training. Obviously, it's expensive, but I think I'd be dumb not to try and figure out any ways I can program it into my programming, because I know that it's going to get, I think it's unbelievable, obviously, first, and I can't just write it off because Tendo units or gym awares are too expensive for our budget. So we do have push bands. They've been good to us. So we use the push app has been good with us. Also we use Kinduct for our athlete readiness surveys. So we have that, that downloaded on all of our phones, and then just the huddle, technology app, where we can really show the kids on our phones or on our iPad, if they're doing any type of improper movement, it makes them learn a lot quicker by seeing their mistake, rather than me just being able to coach them and tell them their mistakes. So those, absolutely. I mean, Huddle, Kinduct, and the push app have been good for us.
Oh, that's great. Well, where can people stay up with you?
Try and be active on social media. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram at KurtzM3. And then I just had a website for about the last year. Have not done that much with it. It's www.theathletemaker.com. But I've created, I just got my web guy getting me set up with blogs. So I'm going to start trying to blog a little bit and do more writing. So hopefully I can start sending some information that can help some other coaches out. So yeah, I got that website, and hopefully I'll be more active on it here soon.
Oh, that's great, man. Well, brother, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and just the friendship through the years, and it's been exciting to watch you go down your path and your journey and see the successes that you've had. And I think, you know, one of the biggest takeaways that I've had from this episode is just how you've gone through consistently and referenced the mentors that you've had, and be it your brother, be it Gary Schofield, be it, Mike Robertson, anybody else that you mentioned. You know, so many times as coaches, when we experience a little bit of success, and it all becomes about us, and you've maintained the fact that it's about the athletes, number one, and then it's about, you know, the people that have poured into your life, and that shines through in a big way. So appreciate you coming on, man.
100%. It's an honor to be on this. I appreciate you inviting me on. Keep up the unbelievable work.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefree.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefree's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefree in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefree can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefree. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefree. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.